hello and welcome to episode 120, which also happens to be our very last episode in 2022. Gosh, where did the year go? Is that what you're thinking? Because that's exactly what I'm thinking. We started off in January, it feels like just a moment ago, and here we are in December of 2022. It has been a cracking year on the podcast. We've had incredible guests that have dropped value upon value, gems upon gems, and just transformational insights that I know that have richly blessed you. So whilst I was thinking about what to do for this final episode, a thought came to me and I was like, hey, hold on a second, how about we do a best of the best episode? We haven't done one of those since September of 2021, and I thought, actually, this is a good point to pause and do that. So what it is, if you haven't listened to that one, I don't even know what you're doing. You should. I remember, I think it was episode 52. We were marking our first anniversary on the podcast, and it was just basically what we do on the best of the best episode is to pull out, exactly as the name goes, pull out all the best moments that we've had on the podcast. So yes, you get to sit down and listen to a feast of an episode where we've pulled out all the nuggets from all our favorite moments on the podcast into one giant, you know, rubble wrapped and preciously delivered episode into your arms. Honestly, you want to get comfortable, you want to, you know, take all the distractions out of the way as you sit and soak in. Honestly, the team and I, you know, we had hair pulling moment where we're like, what is going to make it into this, as we were curating. So just one quick caveat, if you have been a guest on the show and you're listening in and you don't hear your episode in as one of the highlights, fear not, please don't take that to mean that your episode wasn't value adding. It definitely was. We had a constraint around time limitations for this episode, so we could only do so much. Okay, so every single conversation that we've had on the podcast has been amazing, mind-blowing. So thank you so much for adding your value. Let's get into it, shall we? So I'm gonna see you on the other side as I start to introduce every single clip as we go through this best of the best show today. Get comfortable, and remember, don't forget to share. This is a good point to actually share the podcast with your friends and loved ones, because you know how we do. It is epic. It's already epic even before it starts. Let's go for it, shall we?
So exponential is that thing that happens to you at the point of inflection. Yes, because you see, usually if you kept going in the usual trajectory and you kept moving on, that's fine, that's not bad, all right? But when there is some significant change, then we need to check. And that's what people don't do. A lot of us have had significant changes in our career, significant changes in our business, but we've never gone back to say, what happened in that season? Because if I can know the elements that came together in that season, and understand that all success is principle-based, that if I implement those principles intentionally, I will keep having exponential experiences. That's the fact about it. So exponential basically is having outstanding results. I said 2022 is a year of big results. That's exponential. But that's the thing. Until you do something intentionally, you will never step into more. And that is where exponential lies. Exponential does not lie in the zone of comfort. It lies in the zone of sacrifice, where you decide that you are not going to just be, that you are going to be all that you are meant to be. Not many people are willing to pay the price for sacrifice. That's why we don't think, oh, I want to be exponential. But for those that want to be, there's an exponential life that is waiting for them for the taking.
But what we don't realize is that there is no relevance in the streets called safety. No, not at all. It doesn't exist. In fact, they don't go, they are parallel lines, right? So every time, like I told you, you want to break into relevance, the small me, which is your conditioning, which is your subconscious mind speaking loud and saying, no, leave me where I am, I'm safe, don't disturb me. But how long can you be safe? Because there is pain in safety. There is also pain in breaking out. The choice is choose your pain. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy because it's just that the pain in safety is dull. It's something you can live through. Like it's there. You feel the pain, but it's dull, right?
Like a dull ache.
Break out of safety is a sharp pain, but it's not dull. You experience it once, and then you break out into your authentic future self, where there is joy, where there is happiness, where you're so fulfilled. So why not take the sharp pain, right, of breaking out of safety, than endure the dull pain of remaining in safety all your life, and just choose relevance. Choose relevance. Choose your future over your condition. It's possible.
You know, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the possessions he has. So if it was only finances, then you know what? Money should be able to buy you absolutely good health. You know, money should be able to pay people's way out of debt. So life cannot just be about financial resources. And that's why I teach the dynamics of the four types of wealth: financial wealth, physical wealth, time wealth, and social wealth. Financial wealth is just one out of those things. You need to know how to manage your time. You need to know how to amass social wealth, the right set of people in your life per time. You need to be physically wealthy because, if you have all of those things in your bank account and you are not physically well, you can't enjoy your life. So financial wealth is just one out of this. And I also told you that money is only one aspect of financial wealth. Money is just a representation of value. Money itself is not value. So I love to demystify this thing about money, what you have in your bank account, how many cars you have, how many houses you have. I want us to see life from, you know, a bigger perspective, much more than what you have in your bank account, much more than what is going on around in terms of, you know, your possessions and all of those things. I mean, I could go on and on.
You are in this world as a co-creator with God. So it means that when something has been put inside of you like a burden, or you feel like, oh, you're constantly always feeling a certain way about, you know, an injustice or something just happening somewhere, that is not ordinary. It's like an invitation for you to come into a wide space of now doing God's work on a very broad perspective. But then to be able to do that, you would have to be grounded first in yourself and in your identity, and go through the rigorous but continuous inner work until you're able to find yourself and understand, what does it really mean for me to be this first person, or to be a visionary? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for me to be a leader? How would I need to lead myself in order to be at the point where I can lead other people? What are the things that I need to learn about myself, or learn about my journey? Or how do I, because I think, because it's one aspect to feel like you're a visionary, you want to do all this and all these things. But I feel like if you miss the self part,
it's sustainable.
It cannot be sustainable.
Because again, in networking, there's something called times and seasons. Everybody is not meant for you at the same time and season. So you need to understand that and recognize that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is what you said about network. A lot of people, you know, I keep saying this thing in Nigeria, we say, what you're looking for in your
Sokoto is in your
A lot of times, people come and meet us in America, I want to network. I'm like, the people in your circle, what have you done with them? How have you leveraged that? What have you done with those relationships? You kept looking out, oh, you see people that have established tribes or communities, you want to be a part of them. I said, I promise you, if I give you access to those people, you would not make the best use of it. Because guess what? How you do one thing is how you do everything. The people in your circle, what have you done with them? How have you leveraged those relationships? And it's not even about just people. And you know, and as I said, I understand that everybody is valuable. Because you do not see that people are valuable, you in Nigeria we call it see finish. You treat people at the frequency in which you're praying. You're just looking at them as mere mortals. I'm like, no, these people have spirit, these people have, like, these people can connect you with the things you need to do. The only thing is that you need to understand, recognize who you are. I keep telling myself that because I'm valuable, everybody that's connected to me, I don't care if you're a driver or you're a janitor, you have value. You have value. And I see you from that point of view. So I'm able to harness my network, because from the CEO to the...
One thing every human being can do is change. It's so beautiful, but we're almost created to evolve. I don't know how else to explain it. We're not created. I don't believe we're created that the way we were from January is the way we should end the year in December. No. Honestly, the way you were in January shouldn't even be the way you are by the time June or July rolls around.
Look at that.
Who are you becoming? And I think this is such a critical question, because that's why a lot of us are living these lives where we seemingly have everything, but we're unfulfilled on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So some of us were like waiting to exhale. That's what it is. We're waiting to exhale. We're like, okay, I have this great job. I'm a director, or I'm a senior leader, or I'm a manager, or I'm a CEO. I'm making potloads of money. I'm traveling every other, you know, every quarter to on vacation or whatever. Because there are people that live this kind of lives. Everything is great. Your wardrobe is beautiful. You have all the designer things. You get your nails done. You have... Everything is great.
Everything is great.
But just those few moments before you go to bed at night, or the few moments when you wake up in the morning, if you've ever asked yourself, is this all there is? Is this it? Or if there's been a silent discontent on the inside of you that you're even afraid to say, I'm not 100% content with my life, because people will look at you as if, what more do you want?
Yeah.
Right? Be grateful.
If you're comfortable, you've been there for too long. Whatever your situation is, good or bad, if you're comfortable, you've been there for too long. You need to elevate, you need to step out, you need to change something. You need to change, like, even if you're a millionaire, you got there, that's great. I think it's time for you to try and be a trillionaire now. Whatever it is, whatever it is, you've written a book, lovely, you love it. I need another one. I need you to teach other people how to write a book. I need you to change the kind of style of book you're writing. I mean, we can do more, whatever it is, you can do more. You can never be, there's a difference between being satisfied and grateful, as in, oh, you're not looking to, you know, eat more than you can chew, and you're just complacent. And that will bring confusion, because if you're comfortable in that pool for too long, you will start wondering who you are, because you'll become the pool. You won't stand out anymore.
So I think that anyone should realize that making an impact doesn't necessarily mean or means that you have to stand on a podium and talk to 1,000,010 people. It started out as cooking. So I don't know whatever it is, but I think that people should learn to pay attention to themselves. There is a voice inside of you. Everyone is here on an assignment. Everyone is here to fulfill a purpose. Your purpose may not be to reach 1,000,000 people. It may just be to reach 5 people. It may be to reach 10 people. The world has glamorized success to make it look like if you're not touching 10 million lives at once, you're not fulfilling purpose. I don't agree. Your purpose might even just be for one person, one human being on this earth. Yeah. I feel like people should actually just forget about what the world's definition of success is. It's good when everyone is clapping for you and all of that, but that's not fulfilling purpose. What is your true calling? What is that thing that yells inside of you? What is that thing that you know that... You know that, like, if you don't do it, it feels like you're going to die. It feels like that thing is there. You need to listen to it.
Or to have a ton of followers to influence people. It could be you just being a great mother or a great father. And the children you raise become your legacy. and go on to do great things. And you might be feeling at home thinking, oh, but you know, I'm a housewife, or I work from home as a man. I don't really have like a big ministry or a big platform. No one knows my name. It is, but if you can raise and do it well, that could be what you were called to do. It could be with your 500 followers on Instagram or on Twitter. It could just be by you being kind. Mother Teresa didn't have a platform until her kindness and her generosity made the world look for her. It could just be the love that you have for people. It could be anything at all. Don't ever despise where you are, your position, and feel like you need a bigger platform, or that your voice needs an amplifier too.
I always say that for the singles, you have a unique opportunity to get your life partner right, because a life partner can make you. So the same way you're looking, what kind of job do I want? What kind of car would I like to ride? Where will I live? Why do I want this? This is the time to, as you're making those goals for your work life, you're making those goals for your married life, knowing that it's going to impact your work life and your scaling life and your all that life. It's going to impact it so much. This is the time to find you. This is the time to increase you. This is the time to do more with you. You understand? Because I always say there has to be a me for there to be a successful us. There cannot be a successful us if there's not a successful me, both professionally and personally. You see, so it is very true. You can't marry just for the sake of marriage, because a bad marriage will scar you. And it will make a lot of other things very difficult.
I don't feel like I've lost myself or I've lost opportunities, because guess what? I can nurture this other thing, spend time on it, and maybe because I've neglected it, which is why I think I've always said I've never been defined by my corporate roles, ever. My 9-to-5 will never define me. That title can be CEO, it can be director. Rolla Ken knows fundamentally who she is and what God has instilled in her. So if my company or my boss were to say today, sorry, your services are no longer required, I'm okay. And it's not because I'm okay financially, it's not even about the money, because even if I didn't have the money, I can make something of that situation somehow. I've nurtured enough of my gifts to be like, you know what, maybe if I give myself 2 to 3 years, I can build this into something. And that is absolutely key. So which is why I tell a lot of people, build yourself over and above that thing that has come to define you in the eyes of other people. Things can change, times can change. The person who thinks is standing at fault.
There is a reason I do want to be numbered among the greats. I am offended that there are no significant Black thought leaders on the scale of Russell Brunson, Tony Robbins. You know, it's bad enough that there are very few Blacks. It's worse that there are very few Africans, and it's even worse that there's no Nigerian. I want to be that guy. You know what I mean? I want to be that guy. Again, to whoever's listening or watching, it may sound, oh my God, Steve is selfish, that's your problem. Oh, that guy. You know what I mean? I want to be, for the lack of a better term, like the Black Tony Robbins, to be able to impact people. I want to lift my race. You know what I mean? I want to lift my race. I want to be able to show people that, look, you know what? Black isn't whack. You know what I mean? I want, and no disrespect, I tell God, you know, I'm like, see, look, God, I'm grateful. But I don't want, I'm not trying to attract Black people, Jesus. I'm not, see. I want white people, Asians, Hispanic. I want all of them. I want them all to be there shouting. And me, I'll teach them economic Bible study. Do you get what I'm saying? I feel like I need the biggest audience in the world. I want to be able to influence influencers. You know what I mean? I want to be the guy that influencers, even here in the States or globally, are trying to cozy up to because they've heard something about you. I want to be like Solomon, you know what I mean? I want people to come far and wide, you know, to hear of the wisdom. And you say something that just, they're like, you know, I heard about you, but, you know, just like the Queen of Sheba, I heard about you, but what I've seen is so much more. You know what I mean? I want to be that guy.
Most times, purpose is hidden in the place of discovery, and you have to go to your place of discovery to be able to find your purpose. Many times that's in the heart of the creator itself. Now, let's be clear. If you don't know your purpose, why would anybody else know it? So you don't know why you are here, and therefore you can't know what you have been given
to fulfill it.
And the world doesn't know why you are here. They don't know what you've been given. So they are just responding and reacting to this thing, and that you're doing so excellently well. And they can't understand why. Why are you able to do it that I can? I don't understand. Why do you speak and people listen to you and I talk and nobody really pays attention? I don't understand why. Why do you do it so effortlessly, and whenever you do it, time flies by? Why is it that every time you show up, people kind of like step aside and say, hey, yes, in that thing that you do so excellent, why is it that you have such great consuming passion about this thing? And you don't even know where you got the passion for or why you have the passion. All of those confusing things are clues. But unfortunately, because you don't know how and they don't know how, what they do is they react to your clues and they say, look at you. You talk too much. You smile too much. You are too vain. Look at you. And so that whole look at you, when you haven't been to the place of discovery, you now begin to respond to it and you begin to shy away. And you begin to come into yourself
and close up,
and you close up because you don't understand this thing. You don't know where you got it from. You don't know why you're so consumed by it.
So I think that when we come into our own, when we accept who we are, accept that we are valid just by being, we are created in the image of God. So your thoughts, and that's not to say that we're always right. But you must come from the place of that I have thought this. I am a person of my own. Like, I don't need to leech onto someone else for validation, or that, you know, my voice is only valid because it's attached to this person. So I think that's what has helped. And so, guess what? My father wanted to be a lawyer. My mom wanted me to be a lawyer. My sister went the way of law. So when I was going to decide, father, mother, and sister were saying, choose law, choose law, choose law. And in fact, at some point, I got convinced, because my sister was like, you know that if you study law, you can still go and choose to mass comm if you want. Like, there are many people who study something else, and you find them in the newsroom. And that sounded like, okay, so that's like winning on two sides. You have your law, and you can still do your mass comm. And at a point, I remember that I actually shifted ground, and I started telling people, okay, what do you want to go and do? I'll do law. But you know, each time I kept saying, I'm going to go and study law, saying it did not give me butterflies. Saying it, like, I wasn't feeling ginger. Like, so later I said, you know what, I'm not going for law. Mascom. I am at peace with when I say it. I mean, I was still in secondary school, but I was at peace with what I was saying. And I was saying I'll go to a study law.
What people are using to define us is not actually what God refers to us as. It's not. So you are conforming to people's understanding of you rather than staying in line with what God has actually called you to be, which sometimes can be something different from what you are doing right now. Does not mean it's not important. It just shows that we are not meant to be in a box. We are not meant to hold on tight to anything. We are only meant to hold on tight to God. Because guess what? That's what God did with Abraham. With Abraham, when he said sacrifice Isaac, people say it was a test. It was also the fact that God wanted to let him realize that this gift, I know it's very precious to you, but don't hold on to anything as much as they are holding on to me. So if you are doing that, if you are a musician, God can say tomorrow you'll be a politician. You'll be able to move because you're flexible.
But my own duty to then learn. So after I go to work, come back, do everything I need to do, sleep, wake up at 2 a.m. and then study from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. What I did was I downloaded the curriculum of the top interior design schools in the world, because when they are sending their courses, they would write out, you know, the modules. And so I took each module and then I would learn. So things on lighting, you know, things on, you know, color. So that's what helped me, because I did that consistently for 2 years. For 2 years. And it wasn't easy, because, you know, it is not easy to discipline yourself. If you're going to class, you know that, okay, school, they would structure you have to go to class, your teacher will give you assignment. If you don't submit by social time, you will not get scored. But me, I was scoring myself. I had that discipline was to another level because nobody was watching, but I knew that I needed to do this for my future. And so I would literally take a topic, say lighting, and I can be on that for like 3 months, ensuring that I understand every and anything. Now, Google, reading, YouTube, watching videos, because I'm the kind of person that videos stick better than, you know, just reading. So I know myself. And so I'll watch, I'll read everything, such that there was a day, I think years after, somebody sent a comment or somebody sent me a DM and said, I love the way you play with lighting.
Someone has promised to change. Do you not give them an opportunity? Right? And you are taught that, you know what, there's nothing God cannot do. There are some things he cannot do. He would like for all men to be saved, but he cannot go beyond his boundaries to save them or go beyond their boundaries. They have to agree, right? The willingness. So that woman is this woman who is trying to do the right thing, but there's something within her who's saying, this is not how stuff should be. But she quietens that voice, that little voice that says, no, you shouldn't take this. And they'll be like, ah, it's just one beating. After the beating, I'll take some medication. I should be fine. I will try to be a little more quiet so that he won't hurt me next time. It's something I did. I spilled something. I said something I shouldn't have. I don't want to embarrass my pastors because they say, you know, divorce is wrong. Why shouldn't I be able to keep my home? Right? In a toxic relationship, you think of a friend and you're like, oh, we grew up together. So that even now they've become abusive. You're like, we should allow each other, you know, we should make accommodation for each other. In a toxic relationship, so many women try to, well, so many people, right, try to accommodate. Maybe I can do something more. Maybe I can, you know, make myself smaller to be accepted.
Yes.
Maybe I can. Yes. You start to take different positions that you ordinarily wouldn't have.
All these nerve endings in your body was created with you for your pleasure to enjoy in marriage. Do you understand? And so how can you tell me, except you're saying God made a mistake, because you didn't put these nerve endings there yourself, right? Except you're telling me God made a mistake. You have pleasure, you enjoy pleasure with your partner, your body releases oxytocin, your body releases endorphins, feel-good hormones. I did not put it there, neither did you. So except you tell me that God didn't know what he was doing. So sometimes some of us as Christians, we receive the gift of salvation, but we don't receive the gift of sexual pleasure because we think it's about the flesh. But God cares about who you are as a person, your body, your mind, as much as he cares about your spirit. And because this is who you are in totality. You can't exist as body alone without a mind or spirit. You are just a shell. Your mind or your spirit cannot exist. If your spirit exists and there's nobody, it means you are dead and you're not even here anyway, right? So all of this is who you are in totality. And your sexuality, your pleasure, everything was created for you to enjoy. And I don't think God made a mistake.
So there you have it. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the best of the best on Created for More, the podcast 2022 edition. What a stunning lineup, if I say so myself. Gosh, remember, this is just a slither of the conversations that we've had on the podcast, and the power and just the transformation and just the light, the sheer light that our speakers or our guests bring onto the show week after week. You want to make sure that if there are any episodes that pique your interest, you want to go and listen to the full episode so that you can get all the juice, you can squeeze all the juice out of it. In fact, listen to all of them. Make that your theme over the holidays and beyond. Don't miss an episode ever. Next year is going to be even more incredible. We just have an amazing lineup of, you know, guests that are going to blow you away. I want you to come always, every single week, ready to absorb. And I know that it will be epic. See you in 2023.